Hello and welcome back to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. My name is James Stevens, regular host, and looking forward to an action-packed weekend of racing across the country this weekend. We start at Friday, where we've got some really good racing. The Unibet Veterans Series is back. It's been replaced and moved to Market Race. We'll be looking at that, as well as the start as Windsor's Winter Million. We then move on to Ascot on Saturday. We've got a Grade 1 showdown between Energome and Jumbon, a real cracker. See what the panel think about that showdown there. And then we'll also be going to Haydock. We've got three live ITV races there, including the Peter Marsh, which is one of their seasonal highlights across the year. Joining me on the panel, we have regulars Graham Rodway, Tom Park and Brett Williams. And we are going to start on Friday, where we're looking at Market Raisin. It makes sense to come to you first, Brett. We know Ed's spoken on the show so often about how important this veteran series is, not just the veterans final series, but also the new middle distance series. It's been saved. We've got some cracking racing on Friday. Must be really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the drive to Lincolnshire to Market Race on Friday. Should be a really good afternoon, sponsoring the whole card. But as you said, the Unibet Veterans Chase final, and of course, one of the qualifiers for the middle distance, which the final flat is at Haydock in April. So no, a really good card. Actually, you've sort of hit the nail on the head there, James. There is something for everyone this weekend. I mean, you know, we probably take horse racing for granted, don't we, a lot? You know, we see these good horses day in, day out. I don't think we perhaps appreciate them as much as we should. But when you look at the cards we've got on offer this weekend, you know, even I'm just starting to get a little bit excited and really looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, the big race this weekend is the Watch Unibet Racing Postcast and Officers Hurdle at 2:15 at Market Race. And we'll see if anyone fancies that from around the tracks later in the show. But let's start with our first race. This is the 1:25 at Market Raisin on Friday. This is the Unibet Middle Distance Chase Series Veterans Handicap Chase, of course. As Brett alluded to, this is a qualifier for the big final later on in the season, but this is probably going to be quite informative because a lot of the top performers are in here. Top of the market at 5-2 is Grandad's Cottage, Numitor at 4-1, Nocte Volatus 4-1, Railway Hurricane at 7s, and one more for the road at 15-2. Graham, big weekend. Start us off with a winner.
Yeah, I'm quite surprised actually at the odds here, James. I thought that Nocte Volatus might be favourite. He was among the favourites for the original running, wasn't he, at Sandown? Was it Sandown or Wincanton, wasn't it, actually? A few weeks ago, I think it was due to be, wasn't it? And Grandad's Cottage is now in here, quite short for Ollie Murphy, but he's never really been the most consistent, has he, Grandad's Cottage? I mean, he's got loads of talent, but I'm not sure I want to be backing him at a short price, whereas Nocte Volatus is a very consistent performer. He's won two of his last three, and last time out, of course, he ran behind Gemirand at Ascot. That form, I would say, is pretty strong for a veterans race. I mean, Gemirand came out and won the December Gold Cup at Cheltenham next time out, didn't he? So, you know, that sort of form should be more than good enough to win a race like this, of course. He has escaped a rise in the weights, and Cameron Isles, who rode him that day behind Gemirand, is back on claiming £7. He's more than capable. So, yeah, I thought Nocte Volatus would be favourite here, James. I'm quite confident he's going to get us off to a flyer.
Yeah, I've got a little story for you about this horse, Graham. So I did a preview. I did an evening with Tom Lacey yesterday at the Cheltenham Three Counties Racing Club, with interviewing Tom about his career. And at the start of the season, Nocte Volatus came back and he said, you know, to the owners, I'm not sure whether we should keep going with this horse because he might be towards the end of his career. He's come back and he's been better than ever. So, and Graham thinks he's going to win.
What does he know? What does he know?
What do we, any of us know? Hopefully, Graham Rodway, you know, he's going to win the 1:25 Market Race on Friday. Does Tom Park agree?
He was on my shortlist of two. He was last off the shortlist. I agree with G-Rod on Grandad's Cottage. He was put up £6 for his win at Carlisle, but that race, it really did fall apart. Like, two of his main rivals pulled up, one unseated, and I think the second was 125-1. So while it looks impressive when you're scanning through the form books that he's won by 10 lengths, I thought £6 was pretty harsh by the handicapper. Look, the last two were on Nocte Volatus and Numitor. I just was really impressed with Numitor. He has got a tendency of throwing a stinker every now and then. He has won his last two. So whether he's due one or not is up to question. But look, they usually tend to come, like it's the soft, the ground's soft. I think that's ideal for him here. Good to soft, sorry. It's ideal for him here. He's up £4 for beating Copperhead and Neck, but he was getting lonely in front up the hill and he was chased down by a proper stay. He actually cruised into the lead and went clear approaching the last in the manner of a horse with a few pounds in hand. And providing he backs that run up here, I think he's probably the one to beat. I was dead taken by him at Cheltenham. So just ahead of Noctivalitas, I'm going to side with Numitor.
And finally, we come to you, Brett.
I think if Numitor does win, that obviously gives a good boost to the form for Copperhead, who runs in the next race in the Veterans Final. So, yeah, it could certainly make a good case for him. I mean, look at Grandad's Cottage. He's 10 years old. Obviously, this is a Veterans race, but he's actually only ever had 15 starts. He's very, very lightly raced for his age. He's won five of them. Yes, he's off a career high today, but and I don't want to say he's going to be improved at the age of 10, but there just might still be something in the locker for him. I tried out Frolly Murphy a few years ago, and this horse was there then. I think he'd only run about two times since I've left there, but they've obviously got a lot of problems with him in trying to keep him sound. One just sort of to throw in there into the mix, though, is J'Etoile, who we haven't seen win for quite some time. Last won the old Roan Chase a couple of years ago, but has got some very classy form. Got the cheap pieces on for the first time on this occasion. He has got to sort of step up on recent showings, but, you know, it's a race where you can make a case for quite a few of them. I do quite like Grandad's Cottage. I think he's not ahead of the handicap, but I think he could sort of be reasonably well treated off 139. But as I said, I wouldn't put you off J'Etoile, who's got some smart form. And if the cheap pieces were at the Oracle, you know, he could run well at decent odds. And I should say, in a race where if you back the second or the third, we will get your money back as cash. So a nice offer there, money back offer in that Veterans Middle Distance qualifier.
Well, you mentioned some of the old favourites there, Brett. Let's look at the 235 market racing, because it is packed full of some old favourites. At the top of market is Copperhead at 3-1. He's been brought back from the dead, really. He was seemingly gone and nowhere after winning the Mandarin. He's back better than ever. He's 3-1 favourite. Eldorado Allen at 7-2. Good old Sam Brown, 5-1. Fortescue, 11-2. Empire Steel, 7-1. And Remastered, 8-1. Cloudy Glen also in there. Loads of familiar names. Tom, we love to see all these old faces. Which one is going to shine on Friday afternoon?
Yeah, look, I've just kind of made a case for Numitor. So I think Copperhead has got a big chance here. I think the switch to market raising will probably suit him. This 3 mile on good soft ground, probably right in, everything kind of falls in place for him. I am going to take him on, though, with Eldorado Allen. He flew home in that mentioned race at Cheltenham, which Numitor won. I'll take a chance that he'll keep a good bit closer to Copperhead here. I have a slight concern of the track, like I said, but I think that's more that it will suit Copperhead more than it will Eldorado Allen. But I just got the impression with his run last time that he is that this has probably been the target for him. And look, Brendan Powell's on board. He's got a lot of back class. He really was classy back in the day, and it wasn't that long ago that he ran well in the Coral Gold Cup. So, I'm going to side with Eldorado Allen. I've put it down to him and Copperhead. I think it'll be a good race. I'm just hoping they ride him a little bit more prominently, which I think they will. And yeah, I think he's got a big chance.
Eldorado Allen at 72 for Tom. Brett.
Yeah, from 9 o'clock on Friday morning, we will be best industry price all runners in this race. So you will get your best odds with Unibet. As you said, it's a real corker of a race, isn't it? You've got the winner of the race last year, Sam Brown for Anthony Honeyball. He's much higher in the weights on this occasion. So he's, you know, you'd expect him to struggle. Although that said, he has got a decent... I don't know much about the £10 claim. There's Chad Bemmett. Can you tell us a bit about him? I did try and look at his form. There's not much to go on, but... Clearly, Anthony Honeyball must think he's okay if he's going to let him ride in a race like this. And Fortescue's the horse I like. I think he's well handicapped for Henry Daly. Didn't run too badly behind Beauport last time at Ascot. He last won a big listed handicap a couple of years ago, off, I think, 143, and what's he now? 130. So he is one handicap for to scoop. But now I'm interested in Sam Brown and this jockey. What can you tell me about Chad Bamond?
He's made a promising start. He's been with Anthony all season. And yeah, I mean, it's still early days in his career, but this is probably going to be his biggest opportunity. We'll certainly find out a lot more about him after Friday, yeah. But it seems to be good so far.
Yeah, I saw him ride at Sandown, Chad Bamond. You always remember riders who ride you a winner, didn't you? And he gave a horse called Good Luck Charm a really nice ride around Sandown quite recently to win a handicap hurdle there when he was claiming £10. On the limited evidence that I've seen, Brett, I'd be happy with him taking £10 off.
Graham, I was certain your sentence there was going to end with loser rather than winner. But you got me out there. Hopefully, you haven't got a loser in the big veterans race for us.
I'm going to go for Copperhead. I probably got the impression after going for Numitore in the last. I quite like inform horses in these veterans races. I think a lot of them obviously are coming towards the end of their careers, aren't they? And I find that horses can drop off their form very quickly when they get older. Copperhead is going the other way, really, isn't he? He's holding his form remarkably well for his age. Like you said, at the start of the season, they probably thought they were going nowhere with him, and now he's just taken off. I think he ran very well last time over an inadequate trip at Cheltenham behind Numitore. He definitely wants further than that. I think he surprised Connections a little bit with how well he ran. And he's got Freddie Gingle back on board here, claiming £3. So he's effectively £3, getting £3 better there, although he's gone up £2 because he had John Joe on last time. He wasn't able to claim. Gingle gets on really well with Copperhead. He's riding him to all of his recent wins. So I don't think there's any doubt that him back on board is a plus. And he's absolutely guaranteed to give you a really good run for your money, I think, Copperhead. Whatever beats him will know they've been in a race here, James.
Couldn't agree more on that. Cracking final. Well done to all for getting it on, because it's fantastic to see all these old horses getting their opportunity of perhaps their last big payday. So great to all involved. And there are plenty of big paydays on offer at Windsor across Friday and Sunday. It's, of course, the Winter Million with Ascot's card in between. But before we go on to the Clarence House and all those cracking races on Saturday, let's start with the big one on Friday, or the big one in terms of quality especially, is the Fitstairs Lightning Novices Chase over 2 miles. This is led in the market by Caldwell Potter at 10 to 11. We've also got You Wear It Well at 11 to 4. Gidley Park back after that irregular heartbeat for Harry Fry, such a promising horse last season, 9 to 2. And Personal Ambition at 6 to 1. Let's come straight back to you, Graham. Caldwell Potter at the top of the market. Dropping back in trip was 2 mile 4 at Cheltenham. A little bit of an unknown if he stayed that trip. We're going to find out a bit more about him. What was your analysis of his chances here and as a sort of prospect going forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, isn't it, with what they thought about his run first time out at Cheltenham. He was obviously a warm favourite, and he was ultimately well beaten, wasn't he, by Django Bai, and he cost an awful lot of money, didn't he, at the sales out of the dispersal from Ireland. So they must be hoping that they've got a Gold Cup horse on their hands. However, the form doesn't look that bad now, does it? Springwell Bay obviously came out and absolutely hosed up in that big 2.5 mile race back at Cheltenham on New Year's Day. And Caldwell Potter comes in having jumped fairly well that day, I thought, around Cheltenham. Probably find this a little bit easier. All of his form last season, though, it was over 2 miles on testing ground, wasn't it? So you'd be a little bit worried if it quickened right up, I think, taking a short price about him, because it's quite possible that he's best suited by testing surface, but soft ground should be fine for him. I was at Kempton when Gidley Park made his chasing debut. Wasn't that impressed with him. I know he's Harry Fry since said that he had an irregular heartbeat, but he made a couple of really bad mistakes early on and just looked like a big old lummox over his fences. And he's a giant of a horse, isn't he, Gidley Park? Yeah. And he should make a better chaser, but it just didn't look like a natural to me. I mean, it's all right having the size, but you've got to have it upstairs as well, haven't you? And then, of course, the other one in the race who's the big dangerous Personal Ambition, and he's another old dodgy jumper, isn't he? I mean, he's put in a few disappointing rounds before last time out at Ascot when I backed him and tipped him, and he jumped every fence like a stag until we got to the last. And he had Ben Jones up in the air like that. And he was all over the shop. And he ended up getting caught by Mark of Gold. So, you know, I'll be very, very disappointed if Coldwell Potter can't put these two dodgy jumpers away here, James.
Yeah, well, not only do we get tips, Graham, we also get brilliant impressions. So thank you very much for that. We had it all lined up. For those who are listening and not watching on YouTube, then... you just have to take my word. It's well worth logging onto YouTube and seeing Graham Wadgrove's impression of Ben Jones on Personal Ambition. Tom, have you got something similar for us? I hope not.
No, absolutely not. I won't be pulling out my horse jumping fence impression today anyway. Look, I was keen to take on Coldwell Potter at first. I'm not sure this tight track will suit him. The opposition's not that good. That's the problem. I'm a big, big fan of Gidley Park. I hope that he does get his jumping right. He obviously had a few issues last time. And I think this will... I'd be very surprised if they've got him really tuned up for this, given what he went through at Kempton last time. It might be that they're dropping him back in trip to maybe sharpen up his jumping. I think they've got that 2.5 mile novice handicap chase, the new one at the festival, in mind. Because his form over hurdles last season is really, really top class. He didn't quite stay in the Albert Bartlett, but there's some really good form with Lucky Place and some others last season. So I think he's still got a big future, Gidley Park, if he can get his jumping sorted. Personal Ambition I thought was interesting. I thought he was probably the one at the prices that you could take a chance on. He's quite consistent and generally jumps quite well. I wouldn't put him down as a dodgy jumper. He's made, as G-Rod brilliantly illustrated, the odd mistake, but generally he's a good jumper. And his performance at Ascot was only £5 below Coldwell Potter's at Cheltenham. So while he's got £11 to find on official ratings, there isn't actually an awful lot of to find on their novice chasing form. So I could see him running well at the price, but I agree with G-Rod. Like, Coldwell Potter has been bought for much bigger things than this. And it looks like a good opportunity to get back to winning ways. Be disappointing if he wasn't the win here.
No mention, of course, of You Wear It Well. Cheltenham winner in her own right. Brett,
she's been a bit disappointing, though, hasn't she? Do you not think You Wear It Well?
That's the thing.
Yeah, she's a big fan of hers.
Brett, where do you lie on this?
Yeah, well, you Wear It Well. The form of that run at Warwick hasn't worked out very well with Sherry Dam disappointing, in fact, falling in the race at Foss Lass on Sunday. So that's not got a strong look to it. I think tactics is probably going to be quite crucial here. I'm not sure who's going to make the running. I would imagine Harry Cotton will probably try and sit quite handy, if not make the running on Coldwell Potter. Stepping back down in trip, which will probably suit Gidley Park, because they're going to go, as G-Ross already said. I mean, Gidley Park looks an out-and-out 3-mile chaser already if he does get it jumping together. So the fast pace you would think will suit Coldwell Potter. So, you know, could really bring the sting out of him. It's a cracking in a race, isn't it? You often see these four-running novice chases and you think they're not very competitive. You get an odds-on favourite, but this horse is, you know, just a shade of odds-on. He might even go off even money on the day. Who knows? It's an interesting race. I agree with everything that all the panellists have already said. I think Coldwell Potter is the one they've got to catch, and this will just be a stepping stone, you'd think, onto bigger and better things. But I've always liked Gidley Park. If he was over 3 miles, I'd probably quite fancy him, but I just think 2 miles is going to be too short. If they go a decent gallop, though, that will, I think, play to his strengths.
Yeah. That was the bet pick of the ITV action on Friday. Of course, if the panellists have any other selections on Friday, that will come later in the show. But we'll be turning our attentions to Ascot after a quick break. Okay, so we've got four live ITV races at Ascot, and we start with the BetMGM Mares Hurdler Group 2, where at the top of the market we've got Cargis at 8-13, Take No Chances 7-2, Casa Nomento 7-1, All the Glory and Ooh Betty at 10-1. Now, there's only one place to start here, because Tom Park, you have been left, right and centre. I've seen your tips for Cargis for the Cheltenham Festival. There'll be some nervous times watching this race in the Park household, won't there?
Yeah. I'm very sweet on her chances for the Mares Hurdle. I don't know if I'd be jumping in at 8-13 here, but I've obviously got a lot of invested interest in the race. Look, I'm just not convinced Lossie Mouth or Brighter Days Ahead will run in the Mares Hurdle. It leaves an awfully big gap in that race. And look, the juvenile form from last season is red, red hot. These good ones have proven to be really good. Like Sergino and Madgeborough are the first two in the Arkle market. The Galway Hurdle was won by Nürburgring, and Burdett Road won the Greatwood Hurdle. So like that points to the juveniles being pretty strong, certainly the ones who were at the top. And Cargis was not far behind Sergino or Madgeborough in her two runs at Cheltenham and Aintree last year. What impressed me most about her was her run at Punchestown. She'd had two hard runs at the big festivals at Cheltenham and Aintree. She goes to Punchestown and they settled her in at the back, which is the first time that she's learned to settle in a race. And I think that bodes really well with regard to stepping her up to trip at Cheltenham at the festival. Because she produced a lovely turn of foot there, but she settled really nicely. And if there was something that was costing her races earlier in the season, it was she can be a bit free. I think it's a good thing that they're running over 2 miles here. If there is any freshness and keenness, she's more likely to get away with it over this sort of trip. I find it very difficult to see a beat here, just given how strong that juvenile form is. But look, they've got to train on from 4-5. She's a mare, so she's got a little bit to prove to be back in an 8-11. I would much rather be getting involved like I have done for the Mares Hurdle. But yeah, a lot for the Mares Hurdle is going to depend on who turns up against her. But at the moment, I strongly suspect the other two will be going in the Champion Hurdle, which leaves a big hole to fill.
Yeah, I like your idea of trying to predict the Mullins and Elliott teams and trying to find a little gap. I find that good because it's a brave man who does that. So credit to you, Tom Park, and best luck with your selection. Graham, we've touched on the favourite there. Is she going to prove too good or would you want to take her on?
Difficult one, isn't it? I think that she is obviously the most exciting horse in the race and will probably win, but this is not going to be her main aim for the year. Willie Mullins is certainly going to have left something to work on after 259 days off. And let's not forget that Mullins has had a bit of a torrid time, hasn't he, so far this season by his own very high standards. And that's particularly true in Britain, isn't it? He's only had one or two winners since the turn of the real season, as I call it, not the start of the season, not the start of the season's in April, but the real season don't really get going to sort of October, November, does it? So those would be question marks in the back of my mind about horse that's 4-6 for all she's probably a grade one horse and still the most likely winner of the race. I couldn't have her on my mind at those odds. I think the better bet, if anyone will lay you it, is you've got two places. If you can get a sneaky little each way on Take No Chances at 9-2. I mean, she is absolutely rock solid, isn't she, Take No Chances? We know she's hard fit and she's having a great season. She's already won one of these little races, and she round Weatherby, was it, when she pinged round there. And then last time out, she carried 12 stone to finish a close third in a joke of a race at Cheltenham, when I was massively strong on Joyeuse and they just went no pace, and Joyeuse should have won, but she was too far off the pace. Take No Chances was also too far off the pace, came from a long way back and did well to get so close. So I think Cargis will probably win, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion, and would rather back Take No Chances each way against probably a better bet than doing the forecast on the two, isn't it? Although it will obviously pay if Take No Chances were to turn her over. Anyway, I think it's between the two. I'll probably back Take No Chances each way if someone will lay me a little bet on it.
Yeah, that was Take No Chances at Weatherby. You're quite right, Graham, because I think that was the record since I've hosted the show of winners. I think you had about five that weekend. So, and Take No Chances was one of them in the race there. So,
well, I probably still lost Hunter versus Pro that weekend. The Pro probably had six winners.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's sod's law. Finally, Brett, where do you stand on this race?
Well, we are price boosting the favourite in this race, so you will get slightly enhanced odds if you fancy Car Geese. To be honest, I mean, it's hard to see her being beaten, really, isn't it? I mean, I think Tom made quite an important point. The fact is, you've got to take on Tress that she has trained on. You know, it's sort of well advertised, isn't it? These juveniles, sometimes they just don't tend to follow through as a five-year-old, and it takes them a season to sort of almost acclimatise and get back into their full frame. But if she's trained on, you know, she's head and shoulders above the others on form. I mean, Take No Chances, she's very versatile trip-wise. She's won over 3 miles. She's won over two, or she's been placed over 2.5, and she's won over two. So, you know, she's very versatile tactically as well. So that could play to her strengths. But to be honest, you're just looking at sort of, you know, chinks in armours of other horses to see Car Geese getting beaten. And it's going to be quite difficult, really. You know, she's currently 3-1 at the moment for the Mayor's Hurdle at the festival. And as Tom's alluded to, you know, that race could quite likely cut up if Brighter Days Ahead or Lossy Mouth running the Univet Champion Hurdle. Her price will be a lot shorter for that race, you'd imagine, after this, if she wins. But no, it's an interesting race, but I can't. I'd be surprised if the favourite's beaten, really.
Yeah. Let's move on to the 2:15, the Bet365 Handicap Chase. Perhaps less interest here towards the Cheltenham Festival, but an absolutely cracking betting heat here. So good that we'll have a money-back second and third, Brett, on this race, which is good to know. Let's just have a spin through the market. 7-2 favourite is Phlegmatic. Martador at 4-1. Cop Mask at 4-1. Scarface at 9-2. Bad. 5-1. Hitman 7-1. And Tedley at 10-1. And Brett, I touched on the money-back offer there. Not a bad offer to have for this race because it looks pretty competitive.
Yeah, and as you just said, it's very hot. It's very open, isn't it, at the top of the market? Yeah, so money back if you back the second or third in this. Venetia Williams, obviously, has got some good chances throughout the whole weekend. Of course, she's got Royal Pagai in the Peter Marsh up at Haydock. She's got Martator here, who's a 7-time winner from 28 starts. Goes very, very well around Ascot. A 3-time winner at the track. Ran well behind Soul Icon last time. Back up in trip today, down in grade. There's lots to like about Martator. You know, I think he's got a real solid credentials. The horse who I ruled a line through straight away as soon as I saw he was declared was Bad, because I've just followed that horse off a cliff so many times and keep losing money on him. But he has got blinkers on for the first time on this occasion. So you just never know that, you know, Bad with blinkers, it could just work. It could just finally put it together. And obviously Scarface and Cotton Mask are very, very closely rated on their most recent run. I think Scarface is slightly better off at the weights on this occasion. Good race. Martator for me, though, in what looks a really competitive heat.
Martator for Brett. Graham?
I like Phlegmatic. He's really well handicapped on his best form, isn't he? I mean, he was rated 143 in the spring. He's now running off 132. His last win was off 137 round right-handed Kempton, which, yes, he absolutely loves. But, you know, he's been winning around 3 miles around there, whereas 2.5 around stiff track like Ascot should suit him very well. And he's coming down in class, isn't he? I mean, he's been racing against horses like Pick Dory in a grade two. He was up against Chianti Classico around this track earlier in the season. He didn't shape too badly when behind Victorino over 3 miles at the track last time. He likes good ground. He's quickening up there at Ascot, and hoping it could be another winner for the Skeltons. So Phlegmatic for me, James.
And Tom?
I've got a little Bad devil on my shoulder telling me, come on, you know, Bad will do it one day. Today's the day. But no, I've resisted every urge in my body and will not be tipping Bad, who has to probably be the most appropriately named horse ever. Look, he has got blinkers on for the first time, as Brett alluded to, and they might do the trick, but who knows with Bad? I'd like a good bet on him being second, that's for sure. But he's made me look stupid on a few occasions, so, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he wins when I've when I bad-mouthed him, but I can't be having bad. I like Martator here too. He was a bit disappointed last time. He went off favourite for the Grade 2 handicap chase on at Kempton over Christmas. But look, he had a progressive novice and Edward Stone in front of him. They're two really classy horses. Over a two-mile trip that's probably as sharp as it comes at Kempton on that sort of ground. Step up to 2 mile 5 years should be fine. Look, he won over 2.5 miles at Sandown last year. And yeah, he's unbeaten at Ascot. I thought he was a decent price at around 4-1. Seems like a good bet to me for a horse who loves it round here. I certainly think he's the one they all have to beat anyway.
Prolific Martyr for Tom, and you mentioned there the appropriate name bad. The only other one that came to mind for me was the horse Light at the Dark, who won that bumper in Ireland in the absolute fog in the pitch darkness. Any of you at home and watching in have any fantastically appropriate named horses, get them in the comments and we'll have a look through some of those. I'm sure you can think of ones that we haven't thought of. But let's move on to the third race at Ascot. This is the 250, the BetMGM Holloway's Handicap Hurdle, where, talk about competition at the top of the market, it doesn't get any easier here. We've got joint 4-1 favourites, Bo Zemeth and Alto Belly, Doddy the Great at 5-1, Josh the Boss 11-2, Kamsanas at 7s, and Spirit Denou at 9-1. Graham, where are we looking here?
Yeah, this is a cracking race, isn't it, this one? They must be gutted with this Outer Belly, because they keep running at Ascot. It needs really testing ground, and then it keeps drying out, and ground comes up too quick for him. So, yeah, he's bound to travel well. He's a big old gangly thing. His legs go all over the place. He's bound to travel well, and then probably finish second or third again, and then afterwards. So ground was just a little bit too quick for him, and then they'll turn up and do the same thing next time. I think that Josh the Boss is a cracking bet here, James. I mean, he was well beaten last time at Haydock, but he didn't go through the ground, I don't think, that day behind Steel Ally. That was the excuse that Connections put forward. And if you put a line through that run, I mean, his previous run is a superb piece of form, isn't it? He bolted up in the Silver Trophy at Chepstow on decent ground at the start of the season. I mean, the runner-up was Doyen Quest, who bolted up next time in a handicap at Cheltenham. The third was Take No Chances, who we've already spoken about. It's come out and won a couple of times since, I think. And the fourth was Lowry's Bar, who's taken off over fences subsequently. And Josh the Boss thrashed them that day. He was well on top at the line under Jamie Nild, who rides all the time, claims £7. He's up £7. He stays on the same mark as for that for when disappointing last time. But if he reproduces his Chepstow form when he's favoured decent ground, he must have a massive chance, Josh the Boss.
Confident selection at 11-2. That's what we like to hear. Brett's.
Yeah, we're paying five places each way in this, which will just hopefully make it a little bit easier if you're punting in it, because as you've already said, it's massively competitive and there aren't many you can really rule out. Just spoke to Nicky Henson actually a few moments ago. He's got three runners in this race. Bo Zenith, Doddy the Great and Aston Martini. He did say Bo Zenith would definitely be suited by the step up in trip. He said he's a big sort of gross horse and he thinks he'll probably want it a little bit further than this in time. That was a solid effort at Chatham last time. He does think he'll come on for that run. Doddy the Great has, I think, been declared more times than he's actually run this season. Every time he seems to be declared, the meeting gets abandoned. And we all saw what happened at Kempton on Boxing Day. Just think he's quite well handicapped, though, off 129. And as everyone's always said, he sort of 2.5 at a stiff track will really suit him. Didn't quite go to plan over fences, so he's obviously switching back to hurdles here. He's interesting. And I also quite like, I think Gipcott has got a bit of a squeak, got a bit of a rise in the weights for that newbie success, but, you know, he's an improving sort. And there's just another one, Kamsinas in the Noel Feely Racing colours. That was a good effort I thought, behind Steel Ally last time on pretty soft ground. The quicker conditions at Ascot on Saturday, I think, will play to his strengths. And I think could be reasonably well handicapped as well on Kamsinas. But, Doddy the Great for me. Can he sort of finally get his head back in front? That's just assuming the meeting's on, of course. Every time he declares it's not on.
Should be fine. Should be absolutely fine. And Brett, we will, before we get into the Clarence House, we'll of course have a quick word on the Kenton and that fascinating juvenile hurdle runner he's got there, the favourite for the Triumph Hurdle. We'll get a little insight from Brett just before we go into the Clarence House. But first, Tom, what do we like here? I must say, Tom, you've got a bad devil on your shoulder. Mine looks like Alta Belli, I'm afraid. So I know exactly what you're feeling regarding that.
Yeah, I'm in the Alta Belli club as well. I wonder if there's a few cliff horses running on Saturday. I wonder if there's some mad punter who's had a double on Bad and Gorshin. It's mad to think that Gorshin's still only nine. He did win his last start last night. I couldn't rule Gorshin out categorically out of this. He has got entry for the Stayers Hurdle, which makes me think, like, do they think that the candle is still burning in Gorshin's mad brain? But yeah, not sure. I couldn't rule Gorshin out at 20-1, that's for sure. But I certainly won't be backing him. Yeah, I'm in Alto Belli camp as well. Was a big fan of his last season. And as you've just kind of pointed out, he's been running well without winning. So he's continuing to lose me money, which is a little bit frustrating. But his best run to date came when third behind Lucia here last season off the same mark. And he flew home last time at Doncaster. I don't know if anyone's watched the replay of that race. I was watching the race live at the time, but he literally wasn't in shot until the last 50 yards where he just came running up the inside rail like a train to finish second. He's up £2 for that. I just think there's always been one of these big handicaps in him. And while this is a really, really competitive race, you're going to need every one of them five places that Unibet are offering. I am going to side with Alta Belli, and I probably will back him again.
Yeah, I'm completely with you on him. And I think if they just change the tactics, that possibly might be in his favour as well. We will come on to the Clarence House, but Brett, I did touch on there. You've mentioned you've spoken to Nick Henson, which is great. What do we know about this Lulamba? Is that the right way to say the horse? Horse who has now been so much money for him in the Triumph Hurdle. He's 2-1 on with Unibet to win his juvenile hurdle. Same colours as Sergino. Is he going to be as good as Sergino?
Well, the thing is, he's already sort of on a pedestal, isn't he? Because people are going to already be comparing him to the likes of Sergino. I mean, you know yourself, James, what Nick is like. He always sort of tries just to play it down a little bit. He doesn't sort of shout from the rooftops what he thinks about his horses. I think if you read Nico de Boinville's Unibet blog, he's quite complimentary about him. If you read Nicky's blog, it's a little bit more negative. You know, like Nicky likes to let the horse do the talking. He has said he's a very nice horse. He works quite nicely. He's a big individual, so he thinks whatever sort of he does early is going to be a bonus because he will sort of improve with age. And I said to him, you know, well, what do you think about the hype and, you know, favourite now for the Triumph? I mean, as you know, Sal, Nick is not a better man, so he couldn't care whether this horse is you know, 2-1 for the Triumph or 200-1. He's obviously a nice horse going forward. He did say that the form of that race he won at O'Toole doesn't look the strongest. So, you know, that's something you've got to take on trust. But, you know, I think, you know as well as I do, when you hear the vibes and, you know, you get the feeling there's a pretty good horse in Seven Barrows, then I'd imagine we'll be quite surprised if he's beaten at the weekend.
OK, so the vibes are there. We're not giving too much away. It's the Seven Barrows doors are staying shut, but I'm sure we'll find a bit more. He runs, of course, in the 12:30 first race at Ascot on Saturday. Let's move on to the feature there, which is the bet. MGM Clarence House Chase. Just four runners, but a cracker it proves to be. Our 4-6 favourite is John Bourne, of course, beaten in this race last year when it was run at Cheltenham at odds of 1-4. Energome at 2-1, turned over by Shishkin in the absolute thrill of the last time it was at Ascot in 2022. And then Edwardstone and Boot Hill. Edwardstone 8-1 and Boot Hill 14-1. Tom Park, John Bourne or Energome?
Yeah, great race, isn't it? I'd be disappointed if John Bourne can't get the job done. Like, he has looked really good this season, I think, John Bourne. I've always found him a little bit unpredictable, but he seems to have got a little more professional with age. And look, his record speaks for himself. He'll like going right-handed. I don't think he's run at Ascot before, has he? But he might really take to Ascot.
As a novice, I think.
Oh, did he run as a novice?
He won the Kennel Gate as a novice.
Okay. Well, I think, like, every the way that Ascot's chase track is, it should really suit John Bourne. It's a fascinating race. I'm not sure. Obviously, they've changed tactics in the last few years with Energome. They don't ride him prominently since that defeat to Shishkin. He's always been kind of held a little bit off the pace. So whether John Bond will be asked to go and make all, I'm not sure whether they'll revert back with Edward Stone to those aggressive tactics that where he was so impressive in the was it the Game Spirit last year? They kind of have reverted after it all went wrong in the champion chase to a little bit more sensible. But look, if Edward Stone was to get loose on the front, he might just surprise a few. Like, he's got 2.25 lengths to catch up with John Bond from Cheltenham. He then fell at Sandown, but Sandown is more John Bond's track. And it was a perfectly good effort given all that weight away at Kempton last time off a mark of 163 and what was a handicap. 14-1 for the punters who are not necessarily wanting to take a short price about anything. Like, there's been some big price winners the Clarence House chase before, and there was a big price winner of it last year. So, albeit it was at Cheltenham, I could see Edward Stone. He's probably a bit too big at 14-1, but look, it's probably out the front too. And John Bond, he's got to win this, hasn't he? Like, for the hope of the 2 mile chase division, I think. Kanergamine's a brilliant horse, but he's 11 now. I'd be disappointed if John Bond can't get the job done.
Graham, are you also in the John Bond team or Kanergamine?
Very difficult, I think, here, James, because in the back of my mind is the fact that every time this horse has a prep run for Cheltenham, he runs below form. There's no doubt about it. I mean, if you go back through his record, he's disappointing often, isn't he, coming into Cheltenham? I mean, he was workmanlike rather than impressive in his novice year before going on to be beaten by Constitution Hill. He made very hard work of beating Calico, didn't he, at Warwick in his prep run for Cheltenham the year after that as a novice. He obviously was turned over in this race last year by Elixir de Nuts. If he runs at that level, we will not win, will he? Because he jumped terribly at times, and he put in a couple of real stinking jumps. Now, however, he is, you know, if he turns up in the Sandown form, he will win. There's no doubt about it. If he turns up at his best, he'll make short work of these, especially on this ground. And Kanergamine, I thought his only hope of beating John Bond here was if the ground came up really testing, and it isn't going to, is it? It's going to be possibly good ground, or certainly good, no worse than good to soft. I couldn't have an Kanergamine at 11 years old on decent-ish ground beating this up-and-coming younger rival, John Bond, for all that I could quite easily see John Bond running miles below form. And then that opens up the question, doesn't it, of, well, if John Bond runs miles below form and you don't think an Kanergamine goes on the ground, could one of the other two spring a surprise? And Parky's already made quite a strong case for Edward Stone at 14s. Wouldn't be totally out of it, especially if they blasted off like they did in the Game Spirit last year. And who knows? I mean, if they blast off with Edward Stone, and Kanergamine chases him and John Bond, they all go too fast. You know, Booty will be ridden out the back and maybe it'll all fall in his lap. I don't know, James.
Nobody knows. That's the great thing about these big races. We've got odds on favour. We've got no idea what's going to happen. No, that's sometimes the way to go. Brett, what is the comments from Seven Barrows about John Bond? Graham there expressing some sort of uncertainty about his form going into sort of his Cheltenham trials. Is there any of that vibe from Nicky?
Not really. This is about the only horse, and Constitution Hill, he will sort of shout from the rooftops how good he thinks they are. Or we know how good they are. We've seen. I mean, you think this horse cost, what, £570,000 at the Yorkton sale a couple of years ago. He's won over £1 million, so he's sort of doubled. He's more than doubled the pay from Savannah's training fee since he went into training at Seven Barrows. What's he won? Eight grade ones. They've won 14 between them, and Kanergamine and John Bond. I mean, you're clutching at straws. You're looking at other reasons that, you know, I can see Rod sort of pointing out perhaps he doesn't always run well on his prep before Cheltenham, but I mean, he doesn't know it's a prep before Cheltenham. He managed to win the Tingle Creek before this. I think Nicker will probably go out, make all the running, just, you know, take the ball by the horns. No point messing around. Just get out there, jump and run. Catch me if you can. And a few people have said, oh, will he handle the track there at over fences at Ascot? You know, it's right-handed. He's won the Tingle Creek and so forth, gone right-handed. It's an uphill finish, as is Ascot. So very similar sort of track. You know, I can't see him being beaten, really. He's a true superstar in the yard. And, you know, he's just a... He's a great horse to witness on the track. He's one horse I get quite excited about seeing, because he seems to calm down a bit, doesn't he? He used to get quite wind up in the prelims, and you'd see him sort of on his toes and get quite sweaty. But, you know, he seems to be much more the finished article now. He's only 9, so he's gone in for what? Hopefully, another sort of 2 years at least.
Yeah, I was quite surprised he was 9, actually. These horses, the age of these horses tends to creep up with you, how long they've been around. But yeah, I'm with you, bro. I think straightforward, I think John Bond will win. But yeah, we will be moving on to Haydock, three live ITV races there, including a real cracking Peter Marsh. But first, a quick word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay, so we start in the 155 at Haydock. This is the Skybet Supreme Trial Rossington Main Novices Hurdle, where we've got another odds on favourite to look at in Royal Infantry, 4-7, Dedicated Hero 5-1, Peacenik 5-1, Walking on a Dream at 12. Graham, Royal Infantry, yes or no?
Yeah, I think he'll win here, James, but obviously he's a very, very short price to do so. However, yeah, I wouldn't put you off having a little interest in him for Cheltenham before this race. I think he's a big enough price, isn't he, for the Supreme. I presume the Supreme will be the aim because they've obviously got the new Lion, and I expect the new Lion will go to the Turners unless it comes up very, very soft at Cheltenham. And if the new Lion goes to the Turners, then that would leave, you would have thought, an opening for Royal Infantry going for the Supreme. If you can get a big old price for him and he wins this well, I think he could quite easily turn up a 10 or 12 to 1 shot for the Supreme on the day, and you might be in for a bit of value. So that would be my tip here. Don't back him for this race. Back him for the Supreme, the opener on first day of Cheltenham Festival.
Long-term thinker. We've got two big shouts for the Cheltenham Festival already. Don't say we don't give it to you nice and early. Tom, are you with Royal Infantry?
Yeah, totally agree with what G Rod has said. Wouldn't put anyone backing him for Cheltenham either. He's a big price. Should win this. Like the others have got £20 to find on both official ratings and RPRs. I can't see him being beaten. And he's of all the odds on shots at around the 4-6 mark that are running on Saturday, I'd be absolutely shocked if Royal Infantry doesn't win this.
Very confident. 25-1 is the price of Royal Infantry with Unibet for the Supreme. Brett?
Well, I was about to say it's 33. I thought it was 33 with Unibet. I'll have to check that. But anyway, yeah, he's a decent price.
You've clearly listened to these boys and told you.
He's been backing him.
Yeah, that's it. It's gone. People have gone on straight away. Yeah, I mean, as you said, of all the shorties on the day, this is probably the most likely winner. You know, it was very impressive last time. Handles the ground. If you're looking for a sort of a little bit of an each way angle, Peacenik has got some quite smart bumper form behind Regent Stroll, and has, you know, done okay since switching to hurdles. So, you know, I wouldn't think he'll give the favourite any big dangers, but, you know, could run well and finish in the money. But no, I think Royal Infantry could perhaps will win this and then sort of cement his credentials for the Supreme in March.
The panel all keen on Royal Infantry and especially with view to the Cheltenham Festival. We'll move on to the 2:30. This is a Skybet Peter Marsh handicap chase. It might not be very quick. It's heavy ground at Haydock and some real mud lovers that we love to see, including the Haydock specialist who tops the market, Royal Pagai at 2-1. Mr. Van Gogh at 9-4, Trelawne 9-2, and I Will Do It and Imagine at 8-1. Let's come straight back to you, Brett. A few old favourites here. Where are you looking at?
Yeah, I mean, it's great that Royal Pagai is here, isn't it? I mean, he is a proper Haydock specialist. He loves soft ground. A dual winner of the Betfair Chase. He's won this race as well. He's such an admirable servant. I mean, how hard a race he had in the Betfair is perhaps something you've just got to consider. But you'd like to think he's had plenty of time to recover from that. It was almost 2 months ago. You know, he sets the standard. He's got top weight, which is obviously going to make it harder for him. But, you know, he is the class horse in the race. There's just one I would like to look at, and that's the Harry Derham runner, Imagine. Was purchased out of Gordon Elliott's yard. I know they thought a lot of that horse. They ran him in the Paddy Power at some Cheltenham, just whatever, just never even threatened, never got into contention on that occasion. They're stepping up in trip here today. I think that might just help him. Perhaps they'll go a little bit steadier. He might be able to get into a rhythm. He's a second season novice. you know, I just think he could be quite interesting. You know, Royal Pagai, yes, is the form horse. What's he around sort of 2-1, 9-4? He does set the standard, but just a bit of value. I wouldn't be surprised to see Imagine run a nice race for Harry Jenner, who is now just starting to have a few more winners after quite a quiet spell.
Yeah, 8-1 shot, and he's a 7-year-old. The rest of them are 9 years old or older, so perhaps that's a certain angle in favour of Brett. Tom?
Yeah, totally agree with what Brett has just said. There's a lot in Royal Pagai's favour, but it's a big mark to, and he's got an awful lot of weight to give away. It's just not the kind of bet that really attracts me in these handicaps. These really classy horses giving tons of weight away. And yeah, Imagine was the one that I thought was overpriced too. What I like here is they are going to the extreme of what went wrong last time. He had good ground over 2.5 miles at Cheltenham, and everything went wrong. Today, he's got heavy ground, 3 mile, 1 furlongs. He's going to need to stay. He's going to need to prove that he stays. But I just like the fact that they were waxing lyrical a little bit in the build-up to the Paddy Power about how good they thought this horse was, how well handicapped they thought he was. Nothing went right for him on the day. There was a fear going into the race that he would want the ground softer, which I think in the end ultimately paid to his chances. And I like the fact that they're stepping him up and Trip here, because we're going to find out exactly whether Imagine is a 3 mile chaser in the making. But he's a young horse, and I thought he was definitely worth another go at a double figure price. What is a really good race, but he's the one who could have quite a few pounds in hand. Should he take to the conditions? It is a question mark, but you're getting the price factored into that. I thought 10-1 was absolutely great bet, to be honest.
Yeah, getting plenty of weight from Royal Pagai as well.
I'm with Royal Pagai here, James. I don't think he'll be beaten here. I know he's got to give them all loads of weight, but he's an absolute machine around Haydock, isn't he? He's won 5 out of 6 there. The one time he was beaten was behind Aplutard in that year when Aplutard was absolutely outstanding and won the Gold Cup. He put in a great performance to beat Grey Dawn in last time when he ran to an RPR 171. His best RPR around Haydock is 174. He's racing off 166. If he can get to 174, I don't think they'll see which way he goes. It's just in this sort of race around Haydock on heavy ground, you know he loves it. I don't think weight will make any difference to him. He'll just outclass him.
It is Royal Pagai for Graham to strike at his beloved Haydock once again. The last race we are going to look at is the Sky Bet Cheltenham non-runner, no bet handicap hurdle, where the Skeltons have another favourite this weekend in Punta del Est at 130. 6-1, Tiny Tetley and Tuna in a Box. Lossy Mouth, not that one. 13-2, this is the one trained by Polly Gundry. Good Luck Charm, you mentioned earlier in the show, 15-2, along with Bushy Park and Kill Barry Hill at 11s. Let's go straight back to you, Graham. Who do you think is going to win this race?
This is the one race on the weekend that I don't have a strong view on, James. Good Luck Charm is running the horse that I said I backed earlier in the season. She's under Chad Bamont again, up £5. I could see her running well. And, of course, Lossy Mouth was a big eye-catcher at Newbury last time out. But this is one I'll be sitting out, James.
Sure. No problem with that. Tom?
Yeah, I like the favourite, Punta del Est. Stayed on strongly over 2 mile 3 here last time. So I think the step up to 3.5 mile should really suit here. Loves heavy ground. That poses no issue. Skeltons are in form. Yeah, I think got a lot going for it. And he's the rightful favourite, and I think he'll win.
Yeah, still a little bit of value, 100 to 30 as well. And finally, Brett.
Yeah, I'm going for a big price runner here, James. Uncle Bert, a homebred of James and Jean Potter's by Pedder's Moon. He loves it when the mud is flying, that the softer the better for him. It's heavy there on Saturday. That will really suit him. He's got to go left-handed. He didn't like jumping fences. He ran well reverting back to hurdles last time at Ainshoe over 2.5. A step up, back up in Trip will definitely suit him. I think it could be just quite interesting. James Turner, a decent little claimer, takes 3 off his back as well. He's a big, strong horse. And, you know, I think 14-1, not a bad price at all. So Uncle Bert for me and that 5 past 3 at Haydock, where we are paying 4 places each way.
Perfect. Right, we've got some brilliant racing on Friday. We've touched on, we've gone through the best of Saturday. There's a good racing at Windsor on Sunday. So do we have any other selections away from those races we've covered. Let's go with you first, Graham. Anything else catch your eye?
Yeah, there's a couple that catch my eye. It's a great weekend, isn't it? Not just Saturday, you know, Friday and Sunday, two superb days racing. And on Friday at Windsor, at 1:15, I expect that Deafening Silence will run really well here for the Skeltons. Been with a few of their horses this weekend. This horse has run in a couple of hot races behind Trelawne at Haydock two starts ago, and then bumped into Django Bay, Springwell Bay and Caldwell Potter last time in what was clearly a strong race at Cheltenham, when you consider that Caldwell Potter and Django Bay are both Grade 1 winning hurdlers, and Springwell Bay bolted up in a handicap chase at Cheltenham since. I think that's really good form. If he runs to that sort of level, off a mark of 1:33, he could be absolutely thrown in. And back to Windsor on Sunday, of course, because they race there on Sunday. The 3:05 is a cracker, isn't it? The Fleur-de-Lis chase. Quite surprised to see Jello in around about, 7-2-ish? I thought he'd be favourite here. I mean, he is was wildly impressive, I thought, when he won at Huntingdon last time. Jumped really well, thrashed Protectorate. He's back in against Protectorate here. I think that he'll be suited by Windsor. I mean, going around a tight track like Windsor, that'll be ideal for him. Ground should be right for him. And I think he's the horse who's going forward against a bunch of horses who are rated higher than him, but have probably already shown their best. So in the 3:05 at Windsor on Sunday, Jello for me as well, James.
Jello for Graham there in the Fleur-de-Lis. Tom?
Yeah, I'm quite strongly against G-Rod in the Fleur-de-Lis because I really like Pictori's chances. I'm assuming he's running because that is the only thinking that I can't understand why he's 4-1, but Harry Cobden's jocked up. I think he's a great bet. I think he is the Protectorate is obviously the Ryanair winner. I'm not sure whether this kind of race around Windsor would necessarily suit him, and you would think that it would be another stepping stone to getting him absolutely tip-top form for Cheltenham. Pictori, I'd imagine, probably won't go to Cheltenham. This is a big old prize pot. And I think that Paul Nicholls has probably had this race in mind for a while for Pictori. There was mention of him potentially running in the King George earlier in the season. I suspect they may have swerved that with the view to this being a little bit more winnable. It's a good prize money on offer. So, yeah, I'm very keen on Pictori's chances in the Fleur-de-Lis.
Yeah, talk of devils on the shoulder. In that race, a Hoist and Yours getting £8 from all of those. That is the ultimate one. And I keep looking at that thinking, do not be tempted by that, James. My sort of horse for Cheltenham runs at Windsor, Anno Power in the first, the Mare's Novice Hurdle. She did absolutely everything wrong at Sandown on her first start, but still managed to win. I don't quite know how. Going to need to up her game with horses like Jubilee Alpha, but I think she's a lovely prospect. This looks a good race, and hopefully she can take a step forward to the Mare's Novice Hurdle. That is in the 12:10 at Windsor on Sunday. And finally, Brett, anything else for us?
Yeah, well, this is a bit of a one out of the dark. In the 1:25 at Lingfield, the Winter Oaks, I mean, Nicky Henderson will obviously be at Ascot with John Bond AL, but he's got two runners in that race. One of them called Time to Share, Time to Shine, is having her first start for the Master of Seven Barrows, comes over from France, carries the silks of Million Mind Partnership. He's got David Probert on board. He's quite bullish, actually. He thinks she should go quite nicely. So, it's also called Time to Shine. Very much of interest in that race at Lingfield. And just a little bit of breaking news coming through as well now. It has been announced that Constitution Hill will run at Cheltenham on Trials Day in the Unibet Hurdle. So that's really, really good news. So fans who will be heading to Presby Park on the 25th of January will get to see the previous Unibet champion hurdler in Constitution Hill, which is good news.
And Brett has just taken the sting out of my lovely outro there, Brett. But there we go. as I was looking forward to saying that, what's on the show and what's to come next week. But before we get to next week, we've got to get our naps. Tom, kick us off. What is your best bet this weekend?
Yeah, I like Martador in the 2:15 at Ascot.
Brett?
I'm going to stick with Uncle Bert in the 3:05 at Haylock. Soft ground should suit him. Stepping up in trip will suit him as well. Uncle Bert for me.
I am going to do the cardinal sin of Alto Belly. I know we said we shouldn't, but he's going to be Alto Belly in the 250. One of these horses is going to come back and bite us, Tom Park. Hopefully, Alto Belly is the one who is going to finally shine. And finally, Graham.
Yeah, mine's in the 250 as well, but it's Josh the Boss.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much to Tom Park, Graham Rodway and Brett Williams for their thoughts. As ever, if you can rate, review and subscribe to the show, that is much appreciated. We'll be back at 7 p.m. next Thursday, looking ahead to Trials Day at Cheltenham, which we'll get to see Constitution Hill. It's going to be full and packed full of Cheltenham clues. We've got a few of them already this afternoon. But until next time, enjoy a fabulous weekend's racing. Goodbye and gamble responsibly.